Welcome to everyone. It's good to see you all here. I hope you're all settling in okay. I think that analogy, John, is really helpful as we come to this weekend away. That idea of sitting back in the armchair, resting, relaxing, and allowing God to minister to you. Allowing God to come and work in your life. And many of us don't find that easy to do. But I hope that this weekend will be an opportunity for you to kind of lean back a little bit and allow God, open up your hearts and your lives. Whistling a bit, Paul. Open up your lives so that he might just come and minister to you by his Spirit and then enable you to go out and minister to others in his Spirit as well. We're really privileged to have Rob and Marion with us this weekend. I met Rob a number of years ago. We were just talking about this at, which Baptist church was it? Cuffley Baptist Church. So I used to travel across to Cuffley Baptist Church from Harlow every month or so, I think maybe every two months, for a little meeting which was about Mainstream. And Mainstream used to be the part of the Baptist Church. I don't know if Rob will correct me if I'm wrong here, but where the Spirit and the Word was put together, they were balanced, held in balance. So the Word of God was important, but also the work of the Spirit of God was important. And I found those meetings really helpful. But one day, Rob turned up, still whistling. am I standing in the wrong place, do you think?
No,
okay. Rob turned up to speak to us, and it was only a handful of us at that occasion. But for me, it was a very special occasion. And we all went out for lunch afterwards as well, which is always a bonus, isn't it, to have lunch as well. So I got to know Rob a little bit then, and I think you came. Did you speak at our church anniversary at some point? You came down to Easton and spoke. But I also know that Alan and Maggie know Rob and Marion very well because Alan and Maggie were at Poynton when Rob was the minister at Poynton Baptist Church as well. So there's some great connections with us at Eastleigh, even though you're settled in the Manchester kind of area and we're down in the south. We still love you, and we believe God can use you as well.
Some of you Southerners are, but a lad, you carry on.
Joe, I was at Eastleigh Football Club a little while ago, and Swindon were playing us, and Eastleigh was shouting at the Swindon fans, telling them to go back, you Northerners, or something. And I turned around to the guy and said, Swindon's not in the north. And he said, Torquay were playing us the other day and they were calling us Northerners. Right. So obviously, there you go. Rob and Marion, come up, because what we'd like to do is introduce you. And you've got a microphone.
I have.
And Marion, if you grab that other microphone there. And we're just going to ask them some questions. Now, you may want to ask them some questions as well. So I'll get the ball rolling. We don't have a roving mic, I'm afraid, with us. But if you shout your question and if people can't hear it, I'll repeat it. As well. But we get to know Rob, get to know Marion. So, Marion, let's start with you, shall we? Because Rob's going to be saying quite a lot later, I expect. But
he does talk a lot.
Yeah. Marion, tell us a little bit about how you met this man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, well, there's a bit of a story here. I was very pally with the minister's daughter. I was in Carshalton Beaches Baptist Church, if any of you know that.
I was born in Carshalton.
You were, eh?
Yeah,
so was
chance.
I.
Yeah.
Let's have a little chat.
Which hospital? Were you born in a hospital?
Yeah.
War Memorial?
No, St Mary's.
Oh, well, I Good never. Me. Right, anyway, sorry about this.
No, St Helier's, sorry. St
yeah,
St Helier's.
Down the Helier's. Bottom. Right? Yeah.
Not St Mary's.
Oh, well, that's the bottom ends of Carshalton.
Well, it would be, yeah. That's where we belonged.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes, so I was very pally with the minister's daughter. And she and I were slightly rebellious at the time, I suppose, about 18. I just started teacher training college. And we kind of had gone out with most of the lads in the youth group that were in Carshalton Beaches. So we were looking for fresh, you know, male. So, and someone told us there was a brilliant after-church thing at in this couple's house. It turns out he was the company secretary of Jaeger. And they lived in the same semi-detached all their, well, until they retired. Absolutely amazing. And every Sunday they opened their home for young people and they could have up to 80 young people. in their semi. And in those days, and this is a long time ago, Geoff. I mean, Rob is really old. And they used to have him singing in the front room and chatting and sandwiches and cake in the back room.
Yes.
So Anne and I went to the back room, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. And so we start chatting to the girls and we're trying to find out, you know, about the talent and fellas. I mean, there was a lot there.
Right, yeah. 40 or so, I should think.
Yeah. And so the girls said to us, oh, do you know Rob White? So I said, no. Well, we're queuing up to go out with him. Now he's changed now because he's So anyway, I thought...
you're doing well for 85.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I honestly thought I'd like to meet this Rob White. And I thought I'll show him a thing or two because they said the word was in those days, he's never been chucked. So I thought, well, I could manage that. Because I'd had quite a difficult relationship just before, so I was a bit off, you know, fellas like that. Anyway, that week I didn't see him, and so I actually had set my sights on a guy who had a really nice car. So I sorry. You're not going to want us to spin, you know.
This is going downhill.
This is going downhill.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Anyway, the next week, and the man of the house... this guy, Hammy, we called him. Can't even remember his name. Rednum, anyway. He used to stand at the front door when we all went home. And I never realised until I was older what an amazing ministry. Always had like a tin of Quality Street or something. And he used to give us all a sweet as we went out. And he'd say something positive to every single young person that went out that door. Which is amazing, isn't it, when you think about it. So I had this new coat on, rather flash, and it had round buttons like that. And I was rather pleased with it. So he said to me, wow, Marion, you look really smart. That's a nice coat. And he said, that looks, those buttons down the side, they look a bit like conkers. And this voice from behind my shoulder, this is no word of a lie, said, cool, I wouldn't mind a conker fight with you.
Ooh.
So I didn't even bother to turn round. I just said, is your name Rob White? And he said, yes. And the girls had warned me he was fast. Bit different in those days to what it means now.
Right.
But there was a very small garden path, and by the time we got to the gate, he was holding my hand. I thought, crumbs, he is fast. And that was the beginning.
Well, that was a great... I'm glad I asked that question now. I bet
unfair.
You aren't, but...
really unfair, that.
So Rob, just pick up, because I'm really fascinated now with this story. So,
yeah.
So you went out, you got married, but just tell us a little bit of story about your family and so forth.
Okay, well, yes, so we did get married, yeah. And we actually had three children.
Right.
And the first two were a bit of a surprise, because Marion was expecting one.
Okay.
And 6 weeks before she was born, the doctor found it was two.
Mm.
So it was she, plural. And we had 6 weeks to change everything around. And we had 20
had no scans
daughters.
In those days,
no,
you see.
No. So although she was massively large, she really was. You could see it from behind as well as in front. And she'll say this. And if she sat down, she could put a dinner plate on the bum. No word of a lie. It's true. It's true. So the first two girls, twins, and then a little bit later, another girl. And they, between them, have six children. So we have six grandchildren. Three daughters and six grandchildren.
Right, great.
Isn't that lovely?
That is great.
And we've been married... 47 years.
47? Oh, wow,
yes.
Wow, fantastic.
That's frightening, isn't it?
It's unbelievable the way you're treating each other.
Well,
but,
absolutely.
It gets worse, John.
It does.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
When we get back to the room, it all goes down terribly wrong.
Yes, yes.
Fortunately, we're
you should have said that.
No, I know, sorry, but there we are.
So tell us a little bit, both just a short summary, if you well.
Sure,
but well, I mean, it'd be interesting tonight.
You got the measure of me, Geoff,
yeah.
Already.
Well, well, now we got all night. It's fine. It'd be nice to know how you became Christians, actually, Marion. How did you meet?
Well,
the
I was
Lord?
Brought up in a Christian family. Mm. My dad was the church organist. My mum was the Sunday school superintendent. So in those days, you had to go to church, you had to wear your hat, gloves, everything. And I think at the age of about 7, I signed what they called a decision book in those days. And it definitely meant something to me because I remember it. But it wasn't really a full commitment in a way. And I think at the age of 13, after a baptismal service, I definitely made a commitment to God. I have to say, through my teenage years, I didn't necessarily stick to what I'd really committed myself to. And actually, it wasn't until I started going out with Rob, and he'd driven me, the first date, driven me into a park, turned the lights off of the car, and I thought, aye, aye. And he said to me, are you really a Christian? I thought, that's a funny thing to say at the thing. And I was really quite cross with him, because I said, of course I am. My dad's the church organist, and my mum's the Sunday school superintendent. And he said, that doesn't make you a Christian. Mm. And so actually that brought me up short. And it was really through that I really came back to God.
Mm. Well, I really sort of brought a number of young ladies back to God. No. It's not true. It's not true. She knows that.
How did you become a Christian yourself?
Well, again, brought up in a Christian family, actually from the Brethren.
Okay.
So some of you may have been in Brethren background. So it was straightforward. Somebody came to speak one evening at a so-called gospel service, and in those days no one ever came in from outside, but it was still a gospel service, and people would preach faithfully. And a missionary came, actually, called Ralph Shallis, and he was a missionary. He did a lot with OM and did a lot in Morocco, actually, North Africa. And I just remember going home at the age of 9 and saying to my parents, I really need to become a Christian. And what you did in those days was to kneel down. Mm. I knelt down in the dining room at a chair and asked Jesus into my life. And the same as Marion, I'm afraid, during the teenage years, it was all over the place. As you probably picked up from a couple of things being said, it was all over the place. And it was only later that really, the real commitment dug in. Mm. So it's very simple coming to Christ, really.
At some point, God must have spoken to you both as a couple that he was going to call you into full-time ministry, because you've been in full-time ministry. I know you're retired now, but full-time ministry for since how old were you?
30.
Right.
So 30 when we started. So in actually something like that. Yeah. 30.
So in a sense, you've been around doing Christian ministry for 40 years or so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just tell us a little bit about that journey and how God kind of brought you to.
Well, okay. Right at the very beginning, it could be a long story, but we'll make it very, very brief. Right at the very beginning, doing a job. I was actually managing a large perfumery department in a large department store south of London. So any of you ladies need any makeup assistance? The problem was I was colorblind as well. I was managing and buying for this department. And I really was. And at the same time, we were leading a youth group in a church down in Crawley in Sussex, where we were living. And we'd had an amazing youth outreach in our church. A guy called Clive Calver, who used to be with National Director of Youth for Christ, and I took over from him as National Director of Youth for Christ. He then went to the Evangelical Alliance. Some of you will know the name. Mm. That he came with a group called In the Name of Jesus, a bunch of wild youngsters who were Christians, way back on those days, saw loads of young people come to Christ. And really, out of that, young people started pouring into our house. And we began to know that God was saying, look, so many lonely, broken young people, so many young people in need, you've got to do something about it. And we felt God challenging us for me to leave work and to take young people into our house and become part of our family. And after 2 years, God provided us with a 10-bedroom house. And for 7 years, we lived there and we took in people who'd been on drugs, drink, people who'd been manic depressives, people who'd been, you know, all sorts of broken people. And that was the start, if you like, of going out of secular employment into a kind of paid, well, it wasn't paid, actually, we lived by faith, but and really lived by faith, but into a, you know, a ministry full-time in that sense for God. So that was the beginning.
And some of the things that you've done is, so you've been a Baptist minister in how many churches?
One,
Poynton.
Yes.
Poynton Baptist Church. But you also were founder member, well, you were part of British Youth for Christ.
Yeah, I was national director of Youth for Christ after Clive Calver for 10 years.
Right. Then you went to Poynton after
Then to Poynton Baptist.
What happened after Poynton?
Poynton Baptist then stepped down from Poynton and led Mainstream. It's now called Fresh Streams.
Yep.
We went to a church called Life Church Manchester. And out of Life Church Manchester,
which
not
was
finished.
Sale Baptist,
yeah, it was Sale Baptist.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, we're not retired yet, actually, because we moved 3.5 years ago to a place called Wilmslow in Cheshire, where we are planting a church.
There you go. So no retirement.
So we're still going.
Great.
Still going.
Great. I got one more question,
yes,
just in case it doesn't come up in a minute or two that I mentioned to you. But it'd be good just to give you a chance to. Sorry if I've asked all the questions you were going to ask, but there may be one or two questions out there that you'd like to ask Rob and Marion. So, come on, don't be shy.
Feel free, anything personal, anything you like, it doesn't matter. But if not...
No, Toby?
Well, loads of questions. I mean, especially the period of time when you took these children into your house and so on, about the structure, what kind of structure, and how you built that as a community or as how you try to operate that as a family. I mean, that's must have been challenging.
Yeah.
It must be difficult.
Well, we had three small children. Because they were just, I think the twins were 3.5, and Naomi was just a baby when we moved in there. And I know people were very worried about that, certainly our parents, but my parents particularly. And they were all Christians, but obviously we were taking their grandchildren into what could be a very difficult situation. We were kind of quite blasé about it, thought it was all going to be fine, which it was. Mm. It was amazing, actually. Mm. We did that for 7 years. And we really hadn't got a clue, Tony. You know, we really hadn't got a clue. But we just, step by step, people came to us. We never went out looking for people. It was always someone was referred and then... And so we worked with social workers, probation officers, the psychiatric hospital. We were in Crawley in Sussex. Big drug problem in Crawley at that time, which was a long time ago. It was bit by bit. And so we gained another young couple who actually were only recently married. So people didn't think that was a good idea either, having them newlyweds really working with us. But they worked with us for the first 4 or 5 years. And we also gained a girl who was an occupational therapist who gave up her job and came and worked with us. So there were 5 of us on the team, really. And we could take up to 8 people at any one time. So it was just step by step.
We had our own quarters in the house, made sure that we had family life, and made sure then, but it, you know, when we didn't have our small family unit, we'd go into the main sitting room and be with the others and eat together, etc. And just had to really, without being corny, follow the Lord, really, which we felt we were doing step by step, really.
All varying times.
Some people just for a few days because they couldn't hack it. Some people for three years. There's a whole major story attached to it. But, yeah.
One exciting thing, actually, just thinking about it. I mean, we took 70 people in over 7 years. So that was the time. But about a few Sundays ago, we were meeting. Rob forgot to say that we meet in the one and only nightclub in Wilmslow, which is shut in the morning. So it's a vodka bar, actually. But we meet there. They do us bacon butties, drinks, because we want to be accessible to those out there. Mm. Not although we do a lot of churchy type things, but it's very different. So that's where we were, and this guy comes in, and he says, thought you were going to get away from me, but you can't. I found out where you are. One of the guys that we had living with us, who left us 3 times and came back, and then left us. And so it was very exciting to see him.
You could pick up that conversation, perhaps. I'm sure Toby would be really interested in talking further. Yeah. Alan?
You said that you were living by faith at that time, and it's one of the few things we don't know about you. How did that kind of work?
Well, I was reading, unfortunately, when God called, unfortunately for Marion, when God called us, I was reading a book by George Muller, who ran Muller's Homes. You know how, some of you will know, how George Muller would even lay out breakfast plates, cutlery on the table down in Bristol, and there'd be no food on the table. And the lads living with him would say, "Where's the food?" And he'd say, "God will provide." You know, and amazing, like they'd sit down, he'd say grace, there'd be a bang on the door. Somebody would knock on the door and say, I have a van that carries food around to local shops. I've broken down. Could you use the food? Thank you, Lord. And I thought, if we're going to live, we're going to live like that. Because the thing was, when people said they live by faith, a lot of people live by faith and hints. You know, so you drop a few hints that you need money. I decided we would live totally by faith, which the church offered us a stipend, and I said no. I said, because we're going to trust God.
Steady. You're giving him ideas.
Real men of God do this. No, fine. People are called in different ways. Lives change from time to time. But for those 7 years, we honestly trusted God every inch of the way. And people brought in, because they were on benefits, whatever the benefits were in those days. We weren't going to starve because that bought the food. But everything extra for us was honest, was just totally, we honestly say we trusted God. And I was so pedantic about it that even my own father, as a Christian, once came. And as he was leaving the house, he said, "Goodbye, son. Do you know, son, I've got some money here. Are you in need?" And
yes, Dad. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Exactly. That's what I should have said. Do you know what I said? I'm so pedantic. I said, "Sorry, Dad, you'll have to ask the Lord." I mean, that sounds so corny and so feeble.
It wasn't corny. It was stupid.
Yeah, it was stupid. But I was so, so keen that we didn't. It sounds daft now.
Oh, I think,
but
it's beautiful.
In a sense, we proved God's faithfulness.
We learnt so much, and they were the founding years for us, really. I never forget, just one quick thing. I remember this envelope being in the church collection one Sunday morning, and the treasurer came up to me. He said, "It's got your name on it, Marion." And when I looked at the envelope, it said, "This is for Marion to get her hair cut." And to this day, I don't know whether to take that as, "Wasn't that wonderful?" or, "What did that person think?"
There's one other question I want to ask you, and then I want to give Rob some chance just to... It's just for 10 minutes, he's going to introduce what we're going to do. So
brief.
I know we've probably run over a little bit of time. It's been great. I mean, we've given you some bits and pieces of their life that you can, when you're sitting chatting to Rob and Marion, you can connect with and ask, and I'm sure they would love to share more about their life. But you guys were both involved with founding Hope for Justice.
Yep.
Perhaps you could just say a little bit about how that came about, what it is, and what it's up to nowadays.
Well, all through our married life, it's really been Rob who's sensed God saying this, this, and this. And I'm happily gone along, done my own thing, had my own ministry. But
you've always sensed that God has called as well.
Called us together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was a trustee of something called Spring Harvest, if you know that. I was sitting in a meeting, Steve Chalk stood up and said, "I'm going to start something called Stop the Traffic." And this was in 2005, December. And he said, "Just watch this little video, 2 minutes. And it was put out by UNICEF, and it was children who were trafficked from Africa into Gatwick and Heathrow. And I just was, well, God got hold of me. And I'd never really thought about human trafficking. Mm. And as I sat there, and these girls were about 14 years old, and they were trafficked into the sex trade in the UK. And I sat there and I thought, if one of those girls was my granddaughter, I'd do something about it, because my eldest granddaughter was 14. And almost audibly, I heard God say, but they are someone's granddaughters, Marion, so why don't you do something? So I sat there through that meeting, never heard another word, thinking, I've got to do something. I didn't know what to do. Said to Steve Chalk afterwards, I think I'm going to have to do something about human trafficking. He said, you know, you need to go to India, Marion. You'll see it in the raw. So I said, oh, no, Steve, I can't go to India. So he said, why? I said, well, you get diarrhea if you go to India. And he said, don't be such a wimp. Anyway, in October 2006, I took 9 other women with me, some of them daughter, that same granddaughter, friends, Corny Chalk herself. And we spent a week, no more than a week, going round, well, in Mumbai, the red light district, and stayed for a weekend in a unit that was run by Oasis, which is Steve Chalk's, where the mums and the children virtually all had, what's the illness? You know, when you get... HIV, yeah. So some of them were okay and some of them were dying. And came back and thought, got to do something here. I've got to raise the profile. And so then did a Stop the Traffic tour with my brother, who's a Christian musician. He's quite old now, called Paul Field. Mm. Done a lot of musicals and stuff like that. And I'd phoned him when I got home after this thing, saying, Paul, you've got to do something. I'm going to get involved with human trafficking. And trying to raise the awareness. And he said, I can't believe you're saying this, Marion. So I said, why? He said, well, for the last 2 months, I've been going up and down to the Wilberforce Institute in Hull because 2007 was the 200th anniversary of the transatlantic slave trade. And Paul had decided to write a musical about slavery. And he'd gone up to Hull, talked to a professor up there who wasn't a Christian, who just said these words to Paul. He said, of course, there's the unfinished business. And Paul said to him, what do you mean? And he said, well, there's far more slaves today than there ever were in Wilberforce's day. And that was enough to get my brother. So he wrote a musical called Cargo. So we toured around the UK. And the very first night, I persuaded the mayor, I won't tell you how, but I persuaded the mayor of Manchester to let me have the town hall free of charge. Should have been 2,000 quid. So I thought that was good.
Well done, yeah.
And... one of these lads in our church had offered to sort of stage manage for me because I was taking these women around and they'd never stood on a platform before, most of them. So he said, I'll do it for you. And God got hold of him there and then. And his name's Ben Cooley. Mm. And he's now the CEO of Hope for Justice. In 2008, well, he came to us and his wife, Deb. He was only 26 at the time. And... after I'd finished the tour, he said, we've got to talk to you. So he and his wife came to talk to us and said, look, Ben was keen to take a big venue and to tell the church about human trafficking, to raise the awareness. So I said, when you say big, Ben, what do you mean? He said, well, I was thinking Wembley. And I said, that is big, Ben. So we tried to persuade him to sort of have a venue in Manchester, but he wasn't up for it. So in the end, we booked the NEC in faith again. 250,000 it cost.
The whole programme.
The whole programme. We had 10,000 people, the hire, everything. And we did realise when we drove on site there the day before, I mean, it was all being set up, we sat there and I said to Rob, you do realise that we're the only ones. There was Ben and Deb who were in a rented house and just us, and we had a house. So we did wonder whether we might lose the house if we didn't get the numbers. But when we stood on the platform at the NEC and saw 6,000 people at the stand, it was called, and that was the beginning of Hope for Justice. And since then, Hope for Justice has gone from strength to strength. Mm. It's amazing. Mm. Rescued hundreds of people in the UK. It's now in Cambodia, America, Norway, as well as UK. So... it's been the most exciting thing that's ever really
fantastic.
We've been involved with.
Really fantastic.
Great. And I'm sure many will want to hear a little bit more about that. I know one thing about these people, because I don't know if they appreciate this, but in God's providence, he's used these people to put seeds into certain people's lives that have grown into huge and vast ministries of grace and salvation. You were involved with the Message Tribe, weren't you?
Still am.
Some of you may not know what the Message Tribe is, but others will. And, you know, the unsung hero to some extent, of many of these things that have impacted our nation. And it's a joy to have you with us.
Bless you.
So thanks, Marion. I'm going to keep Rob up here, if that's okay, and because Rob, you're going to just share with us a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me just say something to these guys before you say what you're going to do.
Please.
You can contradict me afterwards, that's fine.
Go on.
Or correct me, perhaps,
would
even.
Would I?
As we kind of approached this away weekend, you know, I saw the Lord think, well, what is it that you would like us to be looking at and thinking about? And as you know, as we went into 2016, we began to think about the gifts of grace, and we've been doing that in our evening services. And I've described us, Rob, as a gently charismatic church, in the sense that we believe the gifts are for us. We believe the Spirit wants to work in our lives, but we don't want to force that on each other or other people in a way that is damaging. And also we recognise that a number of people come from all kinds of different backgrounds, and yet the Spirit of God is there, and it's a part of our doctrine, part of the reality of living the Christian life, that you know we're in danger of putting on the shelf and leaving there and not allowing the Spirit to actually work in our lives. And I knew that this guy, through your mainstream really, brings that emphasis, and I've received the ministry under Rob of understanding better, but also experiencing the Spirit in my life through you. So when Rob said yes, they would come, I was absolutely delighted, because I couldn't think of a better person or better couple that could come and minister in this way. So I've asked Rob to come and lead us, and you're open to lead us however the Lord leads you through this. But come and share with us. Let me pray for you.
Thank you.
For you both. Lord, we thank you for this this time to be here. Mm. And we just pray that we would be just open, that we would rest back and know that we are in your presence and that we're safe in your presence.
Yes.
And we just commit your servant, your servants, Rob and Marion, to you.
Thank you. Ask,
Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit now.
Yeah.
And that as they come and share with us, that it will be
Father
Jesus
God.
Speaking the truth. Into our lives, and that the Spirit of God will come and work amongst us in the way that you want.
Yeah.
In your name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Bless you. Thank you.
Hello. Just a quick one. The kids have finished doing their evening activities now. So if your child was doing Robot Wars, is there any way you could make your way back down to the accommodation for us?
Yeah.
Also, if you need some bedding, on the east wing, on the bottom floor, just after the stairs, there's a massive cupboard that's filled with duvets, pillows, and they've all got covers on and stuff like that. Your clean sheets are on the table as you walk in. And then if anyone needs any extra duvets or anything, you can just pop in that room. Is that all right?
Thank you. Yes.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. It's good to have a few instructions. And don't forget, you can't make toast if you're under 18. So, anyway, there we are. These things happen, don't they? So, listen, I'm going to be really brief. I won't say. I wasn't going to be long anyway. I think I'll just tie it in with what we've been talking about, and just tell you very honestly that if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit operating in my life and Marion's life, we would not have done what we've done. We have been, for a number of years, people who have truly believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? And without the power of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be where we are today. I want to say two things about that. Number one, we haven't made it. I can talk about, I haven't made it, okay? It doesn't make me a better person. It doesn't make me a person who never sins, who never does anything wrong. It doesn't make me that. So if you're looking for somebody up the front here who's actually got it together, look somewhere else. Look to Joth, look to Marion, but don't look to me, because I haven't. I can only tell you it's the Holy Spirit that has made the difference. And the other thing I want to say is that don't think for one moment that I major on the Holy Spirit. I like to major on Jesus, because Jesus is the one we're following. But Jesus we follow because the Holy Spirit has introduced us to him. And I remember somebody in Poynton Baptist, because when I went to Poynton Baptist, never having been a minister in my life, only we had planted two churches, one in Banstead in Surrey, one in Crawley in Sussex. That's all we'd done years before. Coming into a denominational church where these good people were. So, and they're still, they're coming here on this weekend. So either they think we're okay, or they've come to see if we got any better. It's one of the two, you can ask them which. When I went there, I was expecting the elders of the church to tell me what the vision was. And the elders said, we're waiting for a leader to help us with the vision, but there are two things we want. Number one, we want to see renewal in this church. And in those days, renewal meant renewal in the Holy Spirit. And I said, that's me. That's my heart. And they said, we want somebody who likes working in team. Well, I like working in team. I don't always get it right, but I love the idea of team. And so I remember one day there, one of the people in the church said to me, I don't know why people go on so much about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the most self-effacing person of the Trinity. He never talks about himself. He always, so I don't know why you talk about him. And I thought, I don't get the logic of that. I really don't. The Holy Spirit came to point us to Jesus. I understand that. But what about if somebody were to say to you, how do you get to Brighton from here? And you say you follow the road signs and you haven't got a clue what a road sign does or what it looks like, what help is that? So when someone says to me, the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and I don't know the Holy Spirit, what's the point in that? So I want you to know that I am not a person who's all Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy. I call myself charismatic. I don't fly any flags. I mean, I don't fly any flags. I'm dancing up. I don't fly a charismatic flag saying, look over here. I just believe that every Christian is charismatic, full of grace. That's what it means. And so when we speak this weekend, just want you to understand that. I want to say three things I'll be doing, okay? One is, are we people of the Word of God? Do we believe the Word of God here? And those that don't, that didn't say yes, you're not sure. Or, okay, just put your hand up if you believe in the Word of God. Do you believe what the Word of God says? Right. Well, I want to work from the Word of God, okay? Second thing you need to know is this. Everybody that works with a Word of God, including you, interprets it in a certain way. We might be in line with loads of theologians and lots of history. We may actually bring something that's fresh. But everybody interprets. I'm not ashamed of interpretation. And the third word I want to use, it has a very poor connotation, but I'll be honest, and that's the word spin. And if you think no preacher or speaker ever puts a spin on what they're saying, think again. We all do. It might be a holy spin, but actually it's the way an individual looks at things and an individual takes things according to their own experience and their own interpretation of what they believe is in the Word of God. All those three things will be happening in the next three sessions, okay? I trust it'll be holy interpretation. I trust it'll be holy spin. It will certainly be, I trust, founded on God's Word. And I won't mind at all if you want to argue with me, disagree with me, but don't do it publicly. Okay, because I'm as Marion said, I'm getting a lot older. I'm getting a lot less patient. And I found that it's far easier to deal with recalcitrant people by telling them to get lost or get on their bike. So, if you know, it's fine. If you want to argue, I'll always take it privately. Come and challenge me. I'm more than happy for you to do that. The last thing I'll say is this. Whenever we talk about the Spirit, because I'm going to be talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's part of it anyway. What we have to remember is that everything about God is fullness. Think of the words in Scripture, fullness, riches, greatness. Nothing. Can you imagine us saying, okay, do you know tonight, folks, let me tell you about God. There are some promises, there's some salvation, there's some grace, there's some joy. Do you know what the Bible says? There's great promises, great salvation, a great God, great shepherd of the sheep, great joy, great consolation, great love, great power, great grace, great wonders, great light, and a great Holy Spirit and a great Jesus. So why be frightened about a great Holy Spirit? It does not fit with the rest. Of course he's great. Of course we need to be full, because God is a God of fullness. And can I just say this? Has anyone ever here been to a party? Yeah. But even if you're a Christian, you know, you didn't want to go, but you were invited to someone's house and you thought, oh, there's a party going on. Shucks, I shouldn't really be here. But you join in anyway. You go to get a drink. You walk back through the room. There's a bit of music. People are dancing. And you'll pardon me, won't you? I won't actually do it. But you're dancing, see, like this. And I'm walking. And you jostle me. And here am I with my full glass. And what happens with my full glass when I'm jostled by you? Absolutely. It spills out all over. What happens with us when we're full of the Holy Spirit and we're jostled through life? What spills over? The Spirit. Jesus, actually, because it's the Spirit has ministered Jesus to us. And instead of other things, it's the Holy Spirit that spills over. That's what I really hope. I really hope we'll be able to talk about what it means for us personally, what it means for the church, what it means for the world in which we live. I'm actually going to do most of the speaking because, if you like, the subject matter has lived with me for so long. Marion speaks about other things, but she will be speaking. So when you get fed up with me, you can look forward to what Marion has to say.
Yeah,
so,
yes. Just so that he knows that you don't think suddenly it's happening. Sometimes I do interrupt him. or he lets me. So if that happens, it's not, it probably is unplanned, but it does happen. But also I do check his theology, things like that.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. So before we go, I have one question out of many, but this is just one question, and it's this. Are you filled with the Spirit at conversion, or are you filled with the Spirit subsequent to conversion? Now, that is a very interesting question. Let me give you an answer. Here is the answer. Come to the next three sessions and find out.
Lord, we just want to be still in your presence. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is all about you. You are our Lord, you are our Saviour, you are our friend, you are everything to us. And Lord, you called your disciples to follow you, and you call us to follow you. But you also said, wait for the Holy Spirit to descend upon you, that you might have power from above. Yeah. And Lord, we want to be your disciples. We want the whole package. We don't want to be just those who follow you in our own strength. We want to be people that follow you in your strength. So come teach us, we pray, over this weekend. May we just be receptive to you, receive from you, and learn what it is to be your people, to be your disciples. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Is there anything to say, Lynn?
I don't think so.
Go party, I guess. Yeah. Go and enjoy yourselves. There is this cocoa, there's lounges that you can lounge in. And rest back. There's the bar. You're welcome to go to the bar as well. Is the bar open?
I presume so.
We presume the bar's open. So if it's open, you can have a drink there if you want. So great. Enjoy each other's company. And we'll be back here tomorrow morning sometime.